And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg and Mark Mulcahy.
And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helga Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And thank you for all the questions and comments that we've received this case on Facebook. Corrine O'Connell, here from the San Francisco Bay Area, commented on our Facebook page saying, I'm listening to your show about holiday eating with Jenny Brewer. I am gluten-free and can definitely relate with being prepared and planning what you are going to eat, bringing something healthy that you can eat. This is crucial if you are gluten-free. I went to a holiday party and didn't come prepared, and there was little that I could eat, especially in the way of hors d'oeuvres. I've learned from that experience and eat before I go to a party or bring something that I actually can eat. Thanks for a great show. Yes, that was a nice show. Mark, do you remember? When was that? Gluten-free?
December-ish?
Yeah, I would say December. And yes, Jenny Brewer, the nutritionist from Santa Cruz, was stressing being prepared in general, actually, right? She was saying not just when you go out or travel or when you go on a date or when you're hiking. And you made a good point. You said even at home.
Well, you know, as Jenny always recommends, is the easiest way to prepare good food for yourself is have basic ingredients in your house so that you can cook. And I know that around my house, if I have greens cooked up, if I have some oranges sliced up, if I've made a pot of beans or any of that kind of stuff, it's easier for me the rest of the week to eat better because I go to the fridge and then there's those greens that I can put into a wrap with something like that or some hummus or that type of thing. So following Jenny's lead there.
And we all have experience there where we open the fridge and it's pretty packed full and there's nothing to eat. Or you just come back from, you know, Whole Foods or whatever retail store and really with two big bags of food and you're like, wow, I still have nothing really there. Mm-hmm. So making a meal and having that in your fridge, which usually lasts freshly cooked for at least 2, 3, sometimes 4 days, depending on what it is great, especially proteins. I love dark meat, and so I always try to have some chicken thighs already cooked, mm-hmm. Stir-fried up, which really lasts for 3 days at least. And if I have no time in the morning, I can at least take 5 minutes and eat a couple of nuggets of those that
sure.
I made, and
sure.
It's fresh and organic, and definitely better than what you grab on the road or
carrot sticks, celery sticks, all kinds of things. They've actually done a lot of research where kids will eat more fresh food if you have fresh food ready and available for them. If they have to peel it themselves, often they won't go make that choice. But if there are things already cut up and ready to eat, then they'll eat. They'll eat better.
Yes, and you travel a lot.
I do.
And you just came back. Obviously, there's a Facebook page of you with a gigantic banana.
That's right.
But we're not going to talk about that on this show. How do you prepare? How do you travel?
Alan and Susan are my two mentors there. They both, when I've traveled with them, they both always have had almonds or chocolate or things like that. And so I carry at least 2 pieces of fruit. I carry, some sort of nuts that I like. I carry chocolate. And then I get like a salad before I get on the plane. And then even like yesterday.
At the airport or so?
At the airport, yeah. I can make it at home too. It just depends on my travel day. Yesterday, I traveled a 6-hour flight. And I felt completely fine the whole time because I could always go to my briefcase and just grab a little something that's good for me and yet it's going to give me that energy and not really, eating a big fat burrito before you sit down for 6 hours on a flight.
Not a good idea. Maybe.
Well, just, not a good idea.
Yeah.
And then also, that's also saved me when I've arrived late and still had a little bit of stuff with me. Sometimes things aren't open when you get in late, like 11:30 at night or that type of thing.
And many airports now feature, even organic options right there.
Several of them. I was in Chicago Airport. They had it. Washington, D.C.
Austin,
had
San
some
Francisco.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Great.
Yeah. More and more And more fresh options.
Yes.
I mean, even something like a sandwich shop that everybody hears about, you can get a salad ingredients where they used to just offer a sandwich, but now you can get those same ingredients in a salad bowl without the bread and stuff like that.
That's right, even for gluten-free.
Yeah, it could be like much healthier everywhere. For you, easier for you
yes,
to do. Yeah.
But be prepared for what the week might bring. It'll help your budget, and it will help your sugar level and your protein needs. Thank you for that comment, Corinne O'Connell here from the San Francisco Bay Area. And Mark, you just mentioned that it's good for kids too. That, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that brings us right to this week's show.
How did I know?
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we are excited about our guests today. Two people who have made food education, and especially educating kids how to eat better and more healthfully, their lives and careers. More on that when we come back right after the break. What can we do? We're back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about efforts to teach kids how to eat healthier as a foundation for a healthier life overall. With us in the studio is Mike Axon, the creator of Doof. Doof is food backwards, and that's also the website, foodbackwards.com, which uses video, the web, and live events to get children excited about healthy food. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Helga and Mark.
Great to have you. So just to touch on your background, which is so different, and we would love to learn how you found food as your new personal frontier, but you worked in the film industry of all, on over 30 films, including Star Wars, Titanic, The Fantastic Four, The English Patient. What was your role? What were you doing then, and how did you find your way to create Doof?
Well, I was I worked in the film industry as a sound editor, and so I went to film school, and in the Bay Area there was kind of a great community of amazing people who do sound, including at George Lucas, which is where I did some of my early films. And so that was my role in the film industry, and film was one of the great passions of my life, and food was as well. And kids, where I have two kids, so those were three very important passions to me throughout the whole time I was working in film.
And what was the moment where all of a sudden you had this aha moment of saying, wow, I really want to make food now. I want to leave the film industry and educate kids on how to eat better.
Well, actually, you know, when I was in film school, we had this idea, some friends and I, to do a food show for kids, because our kids were all growing up together and they were doing a lot of stuff in the kitchen. That was one of the things we did. We would get in the kitchen with our kids and sure. We would do lots of stuff. And we were saying, well, let's make a food show. And at the time, I was still in film school, so I didn't really feel I had the confidence to pull it off. And then cut to 7 years later, I had been in the film industry for quite a while. I'd seen a lot of great movies being made and been part of it. And somebody mentioned this idea to me again, and I thought, well, nobody's done it. Nobody's actually made the great kids' food show. There have been some efforts to do it. And my confidence level was very different. I thought, let's just go out and start doing this. And so immediately started to talk to people in the areas, including the food area, where I knew a lot of well-known people, including people like Alice Waters and Alan Tangren, who became a partner for Doof. And we just started doing it, and we started making great videos. So that was really the revelation. And I guess the other revelation was that my kids would watch shows on Saturday morning, and then they would switch over to the food shows. So my own kids were really passionate about food, and they loved to watch it, but there was nothing directed specifically towards them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was intrigued, first of all, to hear the name of your organization. When I first heard Doof, that you know had a different connotation from when I was growing up. And so why the name? Where did it come from? And, you know, what is it about?
Well, when I started to gather this group of people together to work on what yet did not yet have a name, we had a creative process. We would all meet once a week. And we started to think about a name for the show. And I had everybody write down 20 different names. And so we did a poll. And I wrote down Doof. And one other person who doesn't like to take credit for it also wrote down Doof. And we took a poll. And Doof was the highest vote getter. And I thought to myself, how can we name a show called Doof? So we took the second choice. I was like, I can't sell a show called Doof. So we called it Through the Kitchen Door. And Through the Kitchen Door was the name. And I was riding with one of the guys in the group who was one of the camera guys. And he said, you know, I really need to talk to you about this Doof thing, because Through the Kitchen Door is nice and everything, but it's not just us. We're considering it's the point of view of the kids. And for a 12-year-old boy, the name
Through
Doof
the
is
kitchen
great.
Door. Yeah, it does not work. Exactly. Thanks, Mom. Exactly. Yeah, great.
So that's how we ended up with Doof. And you know, it just kind of stuck. Uh-huh. And since that time, you know, the great thing about what we've done is that it's never been just about me. It's really sort of been a lightning rod to draw a lot of people's interest. So
so this all started in 2005.
We got a grant early on to create an education program in 2005. So we really got going, and we incorporated as an LLC at that time. And but a lot of the food people really kind of took this to heart, and they kind of ended up thinking of Doof as the kind of children's version of slow food. And really, particularly with the backwards idea, it was kind of like going back to the source. Let's trace food back to the
Slowing
source.
Down, yes.
And especially from a kid's point of view, let's look at it from all perspectives.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And in the studio with us, Mike Axon, the founder of Doof, which is foodbackwards.com, a company that uses video, the web, and live events to get children excited about healthy food and healthy eating. So, Mike, fast forward. We know you were in the film industry. You had always a passion for food, and you've seen after working there for 7, 8, 9 years that there was nothing on TV the way you would do it, you would have done it. And you started shooting these, what were those, mini films, mini series? Like what were the beginnings and where are we now?
Well, we shot a lot of different things. We did some set pieces where we actually wrote a script. We did something where we had one of the people I partnered with was Howard Swain. And we also at one point called it Uncle How.
So indoors scripted.
Outdoors scripted. We filmed a chess game with it was a little bit like this Pixar movie where this guy's playing chess against himself with different varieties of apples. That was one of the fun things we did. But one of the things we did, which was really great, was just go to the source, just go to the place. And that's sort of remained one of the things we do. We just go to a place where there's an organic farmer. And it's often organic because these are the guys who practice the traditional methods, and it's a lot more interesting than to talk to a real person with their hands in the dirt than to talk to somebody, you know, on a big combine or something. Mm-hmm. So we would go to the source and we would do these little videos, and we would also just interview people on the street. So we did a lot of that, and Alameda County basically gave us a grant to create an education program. So we filmed these one-day vignettes, which ultimately became part of their a curriculum they created, which we did apples and we did pasta, we did root vegetables and squash and citrus. And actually we did those, they were very rough because we shot them and edited them in one day. And
What would it show? What would you do with celery? Or apples.
What was the
activity?
So, well, the formula remains the same. We basically try to show food at its source, food at the point of purchase, and food at the point of consumption. And usually we pick two of the three. Just the idea of Doof is the story of food coming from the source. So that's been a terrific formula for us, and we're still actually doing that. I just did one for apples where I just finished editing that two nights ago. We went to the San Francisco Ferry Building Farmers Market. We interviewed a bunch of people on the street just talking about apples, you know, name the kind of apples that you can name. How do you eat them? Do you have childhood memories of them? We often get grown-ups because grown-ups in these kind of situations can be more silly than the kids. The kids are often nervous and self-conscious, but the kids are the ones who are conducting the interviews. So we've got a couple of kids.
Oh, fantastic.
So they really are ambassadors. And the kids we have actually play the adult role, and they ask very serious questions, and they're fantastic.
Which allows the adults to be kids.
Exactly. Exactly. So we completely turn it on its head.
So it's life backwards or upside down.
So we film there, and then we usually have an anchor who's a food expert. And so we filmed Jolie Devoto, who with her father has Devoto Orchards, Devoto Gardens.
Yeah.
And they grow an incredible variety of apples in the traditional way. It's low water, and so the apples are really dense. And it's like going to a candy store because the variety of apples they have, and you can see it in the video, is just amazing. And so we Jolie gave us a tour of their stand, and then we followed them back to the orchard, the gardens in Sebastopol.
Beautiful.
And the kids just literally run into the apple orchards, and Jolie is recalling her childhood experiences with the apples, and just pulling out these types of apples that I'd never heard of. There's one called the Hawaiian. The kids are taking bites of these apples, and she's talking about, there's always something quirky and funny that happens, and it turns out one of the kids asks her whether she's ever eaten a worm. And
Of course!
It's the kind of question, the kids always ask the right questions. You know, they're much better interviewers than I am.
What did she say? Yes.
She said, how about 100?
Yeah, how about 100 birds?
And she didn't have any problem. And then the other question which they ask is, does an apple a day keep the doctor away? And you think about that question, you think, well, that's just a saying. It doesn't mean anything. She eats about 8 apples a day, and she says, I don't get sick. I don't go to the doctor. And so that statement, which a lot of people kind of don't take seriously anymore, and another person answered the same way, that these people who eat an apple a day don't get sick.
Or close to the land, yes. Great. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helbert.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we're here with Mike Axon, the founder of Doof, Food Backwards. And Mike, when you have those video segments, those vignettes, those short shows, you put them up on your website. There's an archive. People can look, depending on the topic or the product, the produce or the food, select what they want to watch. But then you have this entire world of live events that you do, and you call them Doofapalooza. And we want to talk about that when we come back right after the break.
We'll do it all.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about the efforts to teach kids how to eat healthier as a foundation for a healthier life. With us in the studio still is Mike Axon, the creator and founder of DOOF, which is Food Backwards, literally, D-O-O-F. Foodbackwards.com, the website which uses video, the web, and live events to get children excited about healthy food. Mike, we learned from your background, film industry, you used your skill set that you gained there through film school and the film industry, your experience and work there, to create these food-based educational videos, basically three stations. You film the farm, the place of purchase, and then how to the place of consumption, how to eat this the food. That was all in 2004, 5, 6 that it started. DOOF now has become something even grander because the demand for children education around food at the same time over the last 10 years has drastically increased, right? What are you doing now with DOOF? What are the program areas that you're offering and covering?
Well, when you mentioned the three areas that we work in is we do live events. So we have a DOOFapalooza event coming in May at Jack London Square. We also do something called DOOF on Wheels. And DOOF on Wheels is actually, we're working with Pacific Coast Farmers Market Association to bring hands-on activities to schools and farmers markets throughout the Bay Area. So we're anticipating 50 visits in the next year to farmers markets through PCFMA and schools. And then online, we make our videos available, and we have a backlog of videos. So everything we do is video-related, and we integrate video. We film where we go, and then we make these videos available through social media, through education programs, and on the website.
So you have a monitor at the farmer's market, or when you say, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to have a video monitor. More like we're filming there, and then that becomes available on the website. Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. What are some of the activities at the farmer's market? You said over 50 food-based activities on your website. What are some of those for kids to get involved if they come and come to your booth? What do they find?
Well, we do some things that are designed for the farmer's market. We do we do these vegetable animations, and we allow kids. And this was an amazing activity we started that last year where I don't know if you've seen these books called See Your Food. They're basically they're animals that are created.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I hope you would say that.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's seafood.
Yes, you put
they
like
calendars and all kinds of
right,
things.
Right, right.
Play with your food.
Play with your food.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is. You use your orange and you put in like, you know, pomegranate seeds for eyes and a little potato peel for the tail. And then you have a little animal like I love that. If I was independently wealthy, that's what I would do all day. I think this is some of the most creative. It's totally an obsession. And some of them are so creative that adorable, and it's all food-based. You can pop this whole thing in your mouth when you're done. Well, if you take off the peel, but it's amazing. Yes.
How are you peeling is another one of them. so we set up a station that enables people to construct these activities and then make animations with them.
Nice.
And that was one of the things we had. We also have this thing called the Wheel of Food, which has different seasonal foods, and people spin and they have a card and they have to guess which food it is from the card. And then if the food that they guessed comes up, they win. And so it's just a carnival wheel.
What do they win? A chocolate bar?
They win. No, no, they usually win a Doof T-shirt.
Oh, good.
And but we also, they can eat the food that we have, and mm-hmm. it ties into what's going on at the farmer's market at the time. But then there are the Doofapalooza activities, which are actually, we did two Doofapalooza events at Google in 2000, 2007, and 2008. And they were really, really successful. We had over 50 activities. And so
how is that different from the farmers market activity?
Well, it's more self-contained. Everybody who's there is going to be there for Doofapalooza, as opposed to being in the farmers market where we've got kids for like a few minutes. The entire event is going to be constructed from some of the best food people in the Bay Area will be coming and creating collaborative activities. And they're going to include things like a giant catapult where you launch meatballs into a vat of spaghetti sauce.
Okay, we want to actually dive into that deeper and further, because the event is coming up, Jack London Square, on May, what's the date?
May 22nd.
May 22nd, if you want to mark your calendar already, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Joining us now on the phone, the president and founder of Normal in Schools, calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Robin Hussa. Robin, are you there?
I am here.
Wonderful Hi. To have you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Robin, Normal in Schools, it's at this point a national nonprofit, and you travel to schools and communities nationwide to educate about specifically eating disorders, body image, self-esteem, and wellness,
yeah.
With a strong food focus. How did you get into this work? Why did you start Normal in Schools?
Well, the project itself is actually an arts-based program that teaches about wellness and mindful eating and so forth. So I'm a theater producer from New York City. I produced a musical. It's called Normal. And, of course, it's about the normal family, which is sort of every family, that's going through a day in the life of daily busyness and, let's say, a lack of mindfulness to a degree. And the project, when we produced it in 2005 in New York City, it was so resonant with a myriad of audience members that it ended up getting people into treatment for a range of mental illnesses, but mostly for eating disorders.
And so now more than ever, I feel the entire area of bullying and being different and addressing that, shows like Glee, where there's homosexuality absolutely be put into the storyline, into the forefront as something that at this point must be okay in this country, of course. It seems like the awareness around these issues about bullying, about body self-image, all that is rapidly growing, and there's a new bravery of putting those things on the front page. Is that your experience as well?
That is my experience. In fact, we know that it's one out of every four teenage girls are currently suffering either from depression or acting out with violence, let's say bullying. They may be acting out on an eating disorder or other substance abuse-related illnesses. And so we're seeing this at epidemic levels. It's affecting communities everywhere in socioeconomic diverse backgrounds, so that this isn't anymore just one dynamic in one community. We're really seeing a cross-pollination affecting a lot of families and kids as young as 4 and 5 years old.
Yeah. Hi, Robin. It's Mark Mulcahy.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. I know your friend Joel.
Oh, excellent.
And that's where actually this whole introduction came from. He and I were talking at a meeting last year, and I said, oh, I'd like to have her on the radio show. And he said, oh, I'll get
Fantastic.
You. So why theater? What, I know that's because that's your background, but how do you see that resonates with the kids?
We know that the arts, and it's not just performing arts, but certainly theater, all of these art methodologies are used notoriously for decades now in helping kids define who they are, to shape their identity, to get a better grasp of self-esteem, and really their place in the world. And so, in fact, we know that a lot of treatment programs, a lot of hospitals incorporate the arts in treatment. In other words, it's a way of rebuilding a person's identity and their real strong sense of themselves. So our goal and idea is to actually bring the arts more forward into earlier developmental training in an effort to shape kids' healthy image.
And is there a particular age group that you're working with?
So normal in-schools program, which is our main program, but it's one of about seven programs we offer, that program, the curriculum's written for 7th, 8th, and 9th grade health classes in public schools. And so you're working with that preteen, early, that early age. The program itself, however, is resonant with as old as grandparents, and we've also been using it at conferences as well as in medical training, facilities and in medical schools.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And on the phone with us, Robin Hussa, the president and founder of Normal in Schools, a national nonprofit which travels to schools and communities nationwide to educate about eating disorders, body image, self-esteem, and wellness. Robin, if somebody listens to this show, how can they get involved? If they have a school or a community, how do they contact you, and what's involved for you to come and do your class?
What we have is offering of online support. Our website is normal-life.org, on which we have an abundance of online tools, but also online films, one of which is Speaking Out About Ed, which has been the result of 5 years of my work in schools, where we've been entrenched in treatment centers, working with the leading researchers on the topic, as well as working with families. This, in fact, we're screening in Northern California in April 15th in the San Jose area. We are going to have a host of panelists and registered dietitians and so forth that are going to be speaking about this. But these are the kinds of tools that we offer on the website.
What does speaking out about Ed mean?
Speaking out about Ed. So Ed is what we often reference when we talk about eating disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about eating disorders, we're not only talking about anorexia and bulimia, but we're also talking about one that goes highly unnoticed,
mm-hmm.
which is eating disorders not otherwise specified, which includes binge eating disorder and the issue of obesity. And so this really talks about all three very in depth, but it also talks about these things that we can start doing at home that really prevent these issues from coming to the surface.
And in addition to all the online resources that people can access, I believe for free, right? You don't...
That's right. We offer those for free on our site.
As a nonprofit, if somebody says, we really want you to come to our school or town and do an entire program, do you do that as well?
We do. We bring the live program. Right now, we have offices in the New York City area as well as in the Midwest, in the Milwaukee area. And we bring live programming to those regions. We also are available to bring them. In fact, we're working with schools in the Northern California region to host a sort of a core troupe of performers that would bring the program around to schools in that area. People can simply reach out to us at normal-life.org. I'm available right there on that website on the contact page.
And what are the costs associated with that?
We charge $1,000 to bring up the live program, which includes the 75-minute rock musical immediately followed by the talkback with experts and people in recovery. And it also has the curriculum that goes into schools 2 weeks in advance before the live program.
And as a nonprofit, that barely covers your costs, but I guess it helps offset running this program, right?
Yes, exactly.
The value they're getting, of course, exceeds by far that stipend, Mark.
So, Robin, you were mentioning some statistics earlier about kids and low self-esteem and, eating disorders. And I was looking at researching for this show, and on an article that I read said that 59% of fifth to 12th grade girls were dissatisfied with their body shape, and up to 40% of girls began dieting at 10.
Yeah.
And that by 15, girls were twice as likely to be depressed than boys. Hearing these things, can you tell us a story about how Normal in Schools has made a difference in some of the people who've been part of your program?
Absolutely. The Normally in Schools program, because it is a true story, it's written from actually the mother's perspective of when her 14-year-old daughter suffered from anorexia. Mm. It's a 6-year journey that resulted in the daughter needing to make the decision to become healthy. And whatever that meant for her, I mean, that was certainly identifying the relationship with food, but it's all of these other issues that are really causing a person to act out on food. So we always say it isn't about the food. It is actually about all of those factors that are, perhaps there's a lack of healthy coping going on. Perhaps she's using food or he is using food as a way to stuff feelings that are very powerful and perhaps paralyzing a little bit. So it's getting people to learn these healthy coping skills so that they aren't anymore paralyzed by that fear. And in fact, we know every school that we've been in, whether it's been in an at-risk community or been in a public school, a community of a private school demographic, we have had kids feel really empowered that this has lifted the shame, that it makes them sort of claim their illness in a very healthy way that says, you know, it's time for me to start talking about it. And I will have to say, since 2005, when I produced this project, I have never not seen that happen. And we also have evidence on our website of studies that have been run in two different, you know, health environments where we've actually gotten the studies back from that work. So it's quite empowering for a kid to be able to see on stage his or her life and feel safe enough to come forward and talk to their parents or to their educators.
And we have Mike Axon from Doof here in the studio, who's talking about helping kids to make good food choices through their great projects. And
early on, right?
Early
because
on.
Really what Robin is saying is that the teenage years, which might be, you know, of course, influenced by previous diet choices, but it's not about the food, and the teenage years are some of the most vulnerable to body images that are coming upon these children and kind of a society that expects certain things, or the kids thinking that society is expecting certain things. Mike, you're addressing kids at an earlier age, right?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you know, this is what Robin's doing is extremely important work and really allowing people to communicate. And I think we kind of deal with some of these issues at a different level, at the level of the messaging, because, people do hands-on activities, but there's a lot of messaging that's coming at kids about what they should eat. There's obviously fast food imagery. Industry drives a lot of messaging, and also the fashion industry drives a lot of messaging, which isn't really consistent with what we see as a normal way to be. So we try to counteract that with a positive messaging about food.
And you know, Robin and Mike, what I'm hearing is, you know, I've always had this relationship with food was that I really loved it. And have always just found just intense joy from seasons and eating a peach or an apple or something like that. And it seems to me that both of you are giving people the opportunity, Mike, you at an early age for a lot of these kids to appreciate food, which can last the rest of their life. And Robin, you to actually potentially be bringing these young teens back to this place where food would actually be
a friend, yeah,
a friend or an enjoyable experience.
Absolutely. It's also trying to employ mindfulness, which is what it also sounds like Mike's amazing program does in, you know, other ways too, where I feel perhaps our missions are similar, which is just getting kids to actually know that they have a choice mm-hmm. in what they're eating, that they don't have to be necessarily victimized, let's say, by media. And to teach that media literacy and critical thinking in terms of, well, what is this that I'm putting in my body, and do I want to make this choice today?
So have you, what are you experiencing, Robin, when you come to a school and you work with these kids, and there are kids that are, that have an unhealthy relationship or act out on food? What have you seen in terms of transformation through your program and their relationship to food?
Well, first of all, the first part of that question I think is really critical. It's, in fact, one of the issues we address in our latest film, The Speaking Out About Ed, where we have leading registered dietitians, in fact, talking about what I think most of us realize and we know for a fact is that what is available to kids today in schools is actually a little bit horrifying, if I can speak so boldly.
Are you saying food-wise or educational?
Yeah, food-wise, right? Uh-huh. I mean, I go into a public school of any, where, regardless of where I am,
yes.
I've been stunned at, you know, we know this, right? So it's one thing to study, whether it's in your third grade nutrition class or your seventh grade or your 12th grade, it's about you're learning about nutrition, but then when you go into the school cafeteria and you actually see what's available to you,
yeah.
there's a complete disconnect there.
Yes.
So that is something that is quite alarming that I've been seeing in schools.
And there is a great national effort, of course, under the leadership now of our First Lady, Michelle Obama,
Absolutely.
Happening. But we have a lot of homework to do still. And we had shows on the Marin Organic School Lunch and Cleaning Program. And, you know, there are all these pockets in the U.S. on a local level, as well as, federal ambition to change that. But it is an existing system that will take some time to change. But, yes, that's a... It's a great discrepancy where you come in, teach, where Mike does his work on weekends at a farmer's market, and then you come back to the lunch line,
yeah.
and not everyone has, the Nevada Unified School District, which goes all out and changes really the food of every day of their kids. So it's quite alarming, or at least disappointing, to see what's being served throughout the U.S. Yes,
absolutely.
Mark.
Well, and you talk about choice. I mean, the thing is, we need to create better choices. And we one of the things we like to do is really work in underserved areas because the choices are even more limited there. They are barraged with fast food imagery, and they don't get the healthy options as you talked about.
Yes,
Robin.
Good point.
And you know what's exciting about both your programs for me is. These will be the children who will become the adults who will make, who will demand, who will ask for the better food
yes.
when in their schools and in their environment and at their shopping environments, everything that will then help them to create, bring the next generation up with a different opinion around food and body image and self-esteem and all these issues that you guys are working on.
Yeah, hopefully,
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll get it done before, but yes, Robin, what are your plans for this year? We're in March 2011. What cities or schools do you have planned to go to? How can people follow what you're doing?
Yes, thank you. We are presenting, as I said, in Northern California. We're screening our documentary, the Speaking Out About Ed film. That'll be in the San Jose area, and information will be available on our website. We also are running a program called the Self-Esteem Stomp, which is not only a walk. What it does is it has an interactive area for families. This is geared toward kids in the grade school and middle school age range and their families, and it teaches them interactive things like yoga therapy, drama therapy, art therapy, dance, these interactive booths where kids actually start learning healthy coping skills at the event. And it's a bit of a backdoor way of learning. But they have a great time. It's almost like a carnival atmosphere, but they're actually teaching themselves journaling, writing, all of these healthy ways of coping with stress. So we have those events happening in the Midwest, and we're also launching one in New York City in the fall of 2011. And then we have our Normal in Schools program running. It's primarily based out of the Midwest area, and all of the information about our programs is always on it's either on the homepage or on the program page of our normal-life.org website.
And it's also normalinschools.org, right?
Yes, it is. We have two of them.
Great. Yes, fantastic website, lots of information, upcoming events. Thank you so much for what you do and for being part of the show today. Robin Husa, the founder and president of Normal in Schools, a national nonprofit which travels to schools and communities nationwide to educate about eating disorders, body image, self-esteem, and wellness. Thank you, Robin. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you both so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And with us in the studio still, Mike Axon from DoofFoodBackwards.com. You're listening to An Organic Conversation, and we want to hear more about the Doofapalooza coming up. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
All of that when we come back right after the break.
I feel like a plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens, but no one seems to hear a thing?
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Hi, my name is Earl Herrick. I started Earl's Organic Produce over 20 years ago to bring the best certified organic produce to the San Francisco Bay Area. Still today, Earl's Organic Produce is sourcing only organic fruits and vegetables. Our core principle is healthy relationships with growers, the environment, and the clients we serve. If you are a business interested in offering the most delicious organic produce to your customers, please visit us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. Please become a partner in our work by visiting marinorganic.org and by pledging your support now. Thank you.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about the efforts to teach kids how to eat healthier as a foundation for a healthier life. We just heard from Robin Husa, the president and founder of Normal in Schools, a nonprofit organization that teaches kids about eating disorders, body image, self-esteem, and wellness through theater. And in the studio with us still, Mike Axon, the creator and president of foodbackwards.com, of Doof, which uses video, the web, and live events to get children excited about healthy food. Mike, you spoke about Doofapalooza, which is a big event coming up in May at Jack London Square here in the San Francisco Bay Area. As kind of a standalone, when you go to a farmer's market and you do your program, there are certain activities around your table that kids can engage in. Doofapalooza is really your show. People come only for that. They enter. It's not part of a big community fair. It's a Doofapalooza, right?
That's right.
It is the it is the tomato. What can people expect? May 22nd, Jack London Square. When you walk in, what will it be like?
Well, there was the Eat Real Festival last fall at Jack London Square, and we talked to them quite a bit, and that was basically play for adults. They had 100,000 people. They just packed in.
We had two shows on that. It was fantastic. Yes,
fantastic. And so what we're trying to do is make it. It wasn't as kid-friendly because it was, you know, adults were just, you know. And so what we've tried to do is open it up and really place an equal emphasis on the activities and making them kind of crazy fun activities. We did this at Google to several thousand people, and we just had lines all the way down the parking lot at Google, and it was a paid event. So this time around, we're opening it to the public, and we're doing things like I mentioned, this idea of being able to launch meatballs into spaghetti sauce. We're not going to waste any real meatballs. We're just going to set it up as a mock thing. But to participate in a really crazy hands-on way, there's going to be coconut bowling, There's going to be last time around Monterey.
Mark, we'll be there. Is there an age limit?
There's no age limit.
Mark, is there like a 5-year-old you can borrow somewhere so you can pretend you're going for him or her?
Well, that was the secret with the last one. We did this as a kids event, and a lot of people were showing up without kids, and that's perfectly fine. I thought it would be mostly people with kids, and there were also a lot of really passionate moms who were saying, they were sort of desperate to bring their kids to this because it was like Disneyland but with food, and they really want to get their
and
kids.
Still respectful, right? I mean, you're saying it's important that you're not wasting any food really there. But that kind of really fresh, powerful engagement with food, touching it, smelling it, eating it, playing with it, quote unquote, in a way that makes them comfortable. And food is like you come to it 3 times a day as a kid, and usually you don't talk about it other than that. You really open the world of food for them, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, so it's kind of like we take some very serious things that are going on, and we try to give it a crazy, doofy twist. Like last time around, we had Monterey Bay Aquarium, and they do a seafood watch program where they're trying to identify, let people know which are the fish that are on the danger list that you shouldn't be eating and which are the ones that are okay to eat. So I thought of actually putting the fish in a lineup, like a police lineup, where you have to identify the fish that is
sideways
on the seafood watch.
Front.
So we really want to pull out the stops and because to bring kids in to something that we as adults think is really wonderful. I mean, I can spend all day at a farmer's market just touching all the things and picking out stuff to eat. But for a kid, they don't always have the same access to food that we do. Mm-hmm. So really that's the idea.
Well, and it brings us or you as the organizer and the adults that are coming, like Mark, back to that sense of, yes, food should be fun. Mm. You know, the eating part, yes, it's beautiful and we can sit for a 4-hour meal and really celebrate the flavor and the story of the food. But food is also fun, and you make that very accessible and available. It's wonderful.
I go to the Strawberry Music Festival every year, and at the end of the festival, all the food producers all do cabbage bowling at the end of, and they just get these whole hoots and howls. All these guys are out there bowling with these leftover cabbages and just having a ball. And it just reminded me of what you're talking about. It was fantastic.
Well, it's kind of a release. It's like, well, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. You know, it's food, but it's not precious.
Yeah.
You know, it is precious in a certain sense because we can't waste it.
Right,
I mean,
right.
The world needs to eat.
Right.
But it's also, you know, when you actually work the land, there's a lot of things that go on with food that, you know, things drop
from
the tree.
Don't be afraid, you know.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of it.
Well, like all the gleaning stuff that, you know. So I'm wondering, can you give us some examples on how kids are receptive to your message? Can you give us maybe a story of just what's been your experience so far?
Well, first of all, I mean, we have a group of doofers. They're the kids that have kind of grown up with doof. And I mean, my idea for this is that they're going to take this over. Mm-hmm. And so these kids, we do these doof camps, and they come in and they do all kinds of food activities, and they sort of become our experts. But then also at the activities themselves, we just have this mass of kids that comes and participates, you know, in the hands-on sense. And as soon as they get their hands on food, they just kind of open up. I mean, we're sort of breaking a barrier here for kids that, you know, the food is processed.
Tell us some of the stories you remember observing and like that warmed your heart in that moment.
A story of a, well, actually, it's funny because the story I keep thinking of is there was actually an 80-year-old woman who showed up at the event that we had at the Solano Stroll. And she, I don't think she spoke much English. I think she was Japanese. And she got involved with these food animals we were making. And we had made one for show, and she wanted to take it. And I said, well, we need that for show. So I ended up spending about 20 minutes with her just constructing this thing, and she was completely obsessed with it, and she wouldn't leave until I finally said, look, you can take this, it's okay to take it. You know, I would have been more easily able to tell a kid, you can't take this, these are the rules, but she didn't seem to understand. So she took it, and she was so happy because she had this thing that she had made, and it was very much like working with a kid.
We will never know what it meant to her, you know, what that's that food that she touched and made that animal with. I'm sure there's a gazillion of stories.
And the other experience I had was working in the Oakland Unified School District, where we go into classrooms and the kids have been educated to a certain extent, but I go in and I hold up a beat in front of the class and I said, how many of you kids can can tell me what this is? And I've been to hundreds of classes and they never can identify the beat. And so we end up showing our beat video, which is full of all these beat jokes, and it's got beatboxing, and it's got, you know, it's hip-hop beats and the whole thing. And then I do a Q&A for them. And at the end, these kids are able to answer a lot of sophisticated questions about the beats. And at the end, I pull out a bag of beats, and every single kid in the class gets a beat to bring home. And it's like a prize for them to get this beat. And I say, just take it home and just cook it, you know, just put it in boiling water with the person that you cook with. And I don't follow up to get the result, but they're all kind of parading out of the classroom with that beat.
Sure.
And it's just amazing, that transformation.
And you too often we don't see the beet greens. So when you actually pull out the beet with the greens, it does look like a completely different vegetable. Right?
They've got the beet, they've got the beet.
Mike, how can people get involved? How do you finance all this? This is pretty new endeavor. You're rapidly growing it. All the information is on a fantastic website, including video streaming, Doof on Wheels at the San Leandro Farmers Market right now. If people go there, that's a big deal. It looks, within 5 years you have grown it to a real entity in what you do in kids' education around food. You have some sponsors, but how can people get involved?
Well, you can come to foodbackwards.com, and a lot of people, and there are a tremendous group of people that work with me to do all sorts of different facets of Doof. And so people actually, a lot of people get in touch just by sending an email to info@foodbackwards.com. And we would love to have people come and volunteer either before the event and be involved with the Doof group or volunteer at the event. Get in touch a few weeks before, and at all of our Doofapalooza events, we've had a great core of volunteers. And it's really up to you what you want to bring to it. You can, if you've got something that you're passionate about, share it with us, and I think I'm very good at incorporating people's passions into this community, because, as I said, it's about much more than me. Also want to mention that we've had we couldn't do Doofapalooza without some tremendous sponsorship. So we are actually partnering with Jack London Square, Port of Oakland. They're a full partner in this. Pacific Coast Farmers Market Association is another sponsor. Newman's Own Organic has been actually supporting us for several years now.
They're involved in so many great programs and activities, yes.
And Circulon also, cookware. We've got a number of people that are making Doofapalooza possible.
And so if people hear the show, they can go to the website. It's literally Food Backwards, all one word, .com, foodbackwards.com. See the upcoming event here in the Bay Area and other events. From food donations to volunteer hours, you will make good use of it.
Absolutely. Just send an email. It goes directly to me, and I always respond to people.
Wonderful. And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Heldberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And thanks very much to our guests today. Again, here in the studio with us, Mike Axon, the creator of Doof, foodbackwards.com, which uses video, the web, life events to get children excited about healthy food. Thank you for being part of the show, Mike.
Thanks so much for having us.
And on the phone with us, we were joined by Robin Husser from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the president and founder of Normal in Schools, a nonprofit organization which travels to schools and communities nationwide to educate about eating disorders, body image, self-esteem, and wellness.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer, Gina Wingtips Rustani.
For our blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com.
You can also follow us on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and questions to share@anorganicconversation.com.
Coming up next is Beth Greer and Your Supernatural Life, a great show. On how to live a healthier, more sustainable life right after the show. So please stay tuned. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. And Mike, you mentioned you will have a lineup of fish and see which one is busted and which one is not, or I shouldn't say that, which one is safe to eat and which one is not. We have a show on seafood coming up, what, in 2 weeks, Mark? Next week?
Yeah.
In 2 weeks? Yeah. We need to look it up, but stay tuned for that. Sustainable seafood choices with the guys from Fish. Fish311.com, the fish restaurant in Sausalito, one of the most sustainable places to eat seafood in the nation. Again, I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks again for being part of an organic conversation.